Thanks again to those that have helped us open the meeting by doing the readings, and I take this opportunity to welcome any people that have joined us since we first started. A huge welcome to any visitors and a massive welcome to any newcomers to our meeting tonight, and we hope you hear something that's going to encourage you to keep coming back. So yeah, we are a speaker meeting, and it falls on me tonight to introduce our speaker, and I'm really pleased that this person's managed to come this week. They were quite ill last week and wasn't able to do it. And so that's good news that they're well enough to be here with us, and I thank them for that. And yeah, this particular person, our journeys have crossed once or twice, and I have to be honest, I don't know that much about him. I'm looking forward to hearing him share his story with us, his experience, strength and hope. I am aware that he passed a fairly significant milestone in recovery fairly recently, and get him to share that with us, should he choose to. So without any further ado, I'm going to ask Andrew, please share your experience, strength and hope with us for 40 or 45 minutes, or whatever you're comfortable with. The floor is yours, sir. Please share with us.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you, Steve.
Thanks, Steve. Thanks, Steve. I'll do my best. I've done about 45 minutes, but thank you for asking me. Thank you for the people supporting the group and keeping it running. Thanks for asking me, Steve, and the people that contributed to the meeting as well, the readings. I was just looking at the participants, and I've realised most of the people attending this meeting attend the other meeting that I attend. So you may have heard me before, but Steve asked me to do this a couple of weeks ago, and I agreed, and then I didn't feel up to it last time. I was not too well mentally, and I just didn't have it in me, and I'd been dealing with some other health issues and trying to manage pain at the same time. So I was asked again recently, and I thought, yeah, okay, I'll do it, because for me, what I put into my recovery is what I take out of it, and it appears after the time that I've been clean, it's been in abundance. So, you know, it's just a bit of a maintenance thing for me. And I'm just happy to be here, to be honest. So, do you know what? It's a kind of a place to come and hook into something that's quite solid, if you like, because I mean, to me, the world is in turmoil at the moment. It's just fucking crazy. Excuse my language. I might swear now and again, but I'll try not to. But the confusion that's going on, and the indifference, and the information that's available, it's like I find some solace in attending a meeting and listening to stuff that grounds me in what I do know is real and pretty black and white to me, and that is what my addiction does to me and what my recovery has done for me to date. So in that respect, I'm quite happy to share, if that's what I'm going to get from it. So and also how these things work. I don't know if there's anybody new in the room. It doesn't look like it, but even so, any of us on any given day, despite how long we've been around, can still experience suffering in one form or another. And so, you know, if there is anybody, you know, I hope that it's something I say might help you. And if not, the meeting is here for us when we're like that. And good, bad, and indifferent. I was wondering what to talk about in the beginning because it's like I thought I'll just do a spontaneous thing, and it's like generally they're the best for me. And I thought you've got to be humble, and have some humility as well. And I thought, well, how are you going to do that? It's like if your ego, yeah. And then I thought, well, do you know what? Pack it in and just get on with it. So, I would like to talk about recovery a bit, to be honest. It's like my using. I mean, I started using in my teens, probably younger than that, if I go right back to the first time I ever took a substance, which was alcohol for me. And it got problematic for me pretty quickly. I mean, I was at in a meeting last night listening to somebody, and I just got this memory of being when I was drinking, and how then I would drink till I blacked out. And I had this memory of doing that at this time, and I couldn't have been more than like 16 or 17 years old, maybe even younger. And like, that's not normal. So it was there for me early on, and like I got into other drugs, and I got into that world. And part of me didn't want to be in the real world, didn't want to participate in society and the way that it went. And in hindsight, I look at it and I see that mainly that was me not wanting to take any responsibility for myself and my life and my future. But I do recognize now there was part of me that probably felt that it was a bit contradictory. The way that the whole thing is set up. But I would have used that as an excuse anyway, because for me, it was just about escape, getting high, having the experiences that I did. I got into hallucinogenics pretty early, and had some kind of wild, mind-opening experiences on that that really set me outside of the mix, if you like, or the system, and opened doors of perception to me that were actually probably quite educational, and even even verging on spiritual. And I don't discount that. You see, I just see it as something that happened. But addiction being what it is, took me down a road, a different a road. It wasn't like I had that experience and used it as an educational thing for my life. It was like, addiction being what it is, takes us to the doors of death and institutions and even death itself. And I've done all that. I've been in institutions, I've been in hospitals, intensive care units, and homeless, and all this kind of thing. And it's needless to say, none of that's happened since I got clean. I mean, I've been a bit crazy at times, there's no doubt about that. But it speaks for itself. And my brother is just, he's had some real fucking issues the last few years, and he's an addict. But his kind of journey's not, I think he had about a year clean through NA once, and then went down another stopped attending basically, and then anyway, cutting a long story short, he's just gone into come out of a detox unit for alcohol. And he scripted loads of opiates because he had cancer and this, that, and the other, which he seems to still be being prescribed, and he's got some serious mental health stuff and that going on. But so they've detoxed him for alcohol. He's come out in the afternoon. I've rang him up to see how he's doing in that, and he's going straight away gone into a conversation with me about how he's going to have a drink, a Christmas drink with his son. And I'm just thinking, what? And I said to him, have you heard yourself? I said, you've literally just come out of a hospital where you've had a professional detox because of your alcoholic drinking. And immediately you're telling me about you're planning your next drink. I said, that's not normal. I said, if a normal person had had an experience like that and they weren't, didn't have this condition, they'd run a million miles from a drink. They won't be planning it. Oh, it'll be all right. I'll be on top of it this time. It was like listening to a fucking, and I said to him, look, don't try and convince me. I've been around the block too many times. I said, you're deluded for a start. You're obviously in denial of it. I'm not going to get into sword fencing with you about it. He knows I'm here if he needs it. Needs me. But I said, you're going to do what you're going to do. I said, but I'm telling you now, you're insane, and you're not going to do it with my blessing either. So if you were telling me to just that, then no. So, but I'll be frank with you all, I think that this coming year I'm going to lose him. He's got fucking hepatitis C, right? And he's just recovered from cancer. His immune system is shot, and I'm kind of preparing myself for that, and it's sad. And but that is the nature of this fucking disease, and I've been there, and this is why I'm really up on maintaining myself. And Steve just said, yeah, I hit a milestone. I'm 20 years clean, right? Maybe on the 5th of December. And it was a massive milestone for me, and I struggled a bit with it, to be honest, because sometimes I don't feel like I've been clean, because I've been prescribed stuff along the way for medical stuff, and there've been times I've lost my head a bit with stuff, and it's been difficult. I've wondered whether I can claim that. But you know what? In the cool light of day, my head might have span out a bit here and there, but I have been treated for chronic illness and a near-death experience. And it's like, I'm not planning to have a fucking drink at Christmas, and I'm not down at the my local, I don't even know who my local dealer is actually, because I live hundreds of miles away from where I did all my using. So, but you get the gist. I'm not like and this time of year for me was always about trying to make sure I had drugs for Christmas Day, and like so that it would be a good Christmas, and like more often than not, it wasn't like that. I mean, I should think more often than not, I did them all in before Christmas came. And then if I did have anything on Christmas, it was a lonely kind of trip. And I might have probably had two out of, 20 Christmases that were kind of where I was satisfied in that way. And things aren't like that for me now. Things are for me, Christmas now is obviously about my family and my home, and especially now, being recently married and having a son, a 1-year-old son. He's just celebrated his birthday yesterday, and he's a real joy to me. So it brings a whole dimension into my life and other things. But I'm a 12 stepper, right? I'm a believer, yeah. I'm down with it all. It's like it works for me. The people, my friends that are in long-term recovery, they're all down with it. They're all doing what we need to do. They're all maintaining good recoveries. Excuse me, I'm gonna turn off. And so I know it works, and I don't and I don't want it any other way. The other I was thinking that you reflect a bit. And 2 decades, like, it's a long time. It's probably been clean longer than I was using for in total, because I had a few years in the 80s as well. And I've looked back just at photographs of the last, like, since I got clean, and I've lived a proper good proper life. And I got to thinking to myself, do you know what, even if you didn't have this disease and you'd bobbed along your life, and I don't know if it would have given me the kind of richness that being involved in this fellowship and the program has given me, and specifically the program, especially the stuff about coming to know and have a relationship with God. And, like, I'm not a Bible thumper or anything, but I certainly have had a spiritual experience. And I've had a slow educational kind of experience, and I've also had what I would call those biblical kind of moments where it's just shaken my whole perception and way of thinking. It's been on, it's been that powerful. And I'm enriched because of that. I'm enriched because of the spiritual experience that comes as a result of trying to live by these steps, and learning about what faith in that is as well. Because, I know that my faith is flawed, right? I don't kid myself. It's like I was listening to somebody in a meeting last night harping on about how, it's all about having being spiritual this and spiritual that and spiritual principles, and, like, it's not about material things and this and that. And I thought, you know what? I'm all right with material things. I had fuck all when I got clean. I've worked hard. I've been to university. I've worked 10, 12 hours a day to have the material things I've got in my life. I like them. It doesn't mean that I'm not spiritual. I haven't got a heart or a soul. It's because I'm taking care of my soul that I can enjoy them. When they become more than what they are, which they inevitably do, because I'm human, then that's when I need to pull it around and stuff. But yeah, I am a bit like that. And, like, I grew up on a council housing estate, and we didn't really have much, So it's nice to have a nice car and a nice home and a beautiful wife that I love, and a child and whatever. These are all the things that I rejected in life so many years ago, because I didn't want to take the responsibility of getting them for myself. And I've been lucky enough to have a journey where, that I've acquired some of this stuff. So I'm not going to feel any shame about it because somebody feels inadequate. and are harping on about spirituality because of it. Oh, do you know, it's like, oh, anyway, I was having a bit of a rant there, but yawn. Do you know what I mean? It's like, oh, please. But anyway, and I think I'm back on track to the kind of life. You know, I've been lucky. I've travelled a lot. I've had some amazing experiences in service. I was served at group level and area level, regional level, world service. You know, I've visited countries doing that kind of service. I attended, I think, three world service conferences. I don't know how many European delegates meetings, and I did the work that was expected of me, and as a result, that enriched my life through the people that I met mainly. Although I'm sure some people thought that I was just having a jolly, it was far from that, and I think Steve will know this. But anyway, so I don't even know why I'm talking about that. I suppose what it is I've realised that these people that I've met on this journey within this fellowship, I still have friendships with them now. I still communicate with them. Some of my closest friends, they've been there from the beginning. And I have learned to value that. And what I do is I put into it. It's like the relationships that are important to me need to be maintained, and I try and do that. And sometimes it takes effort because I'm not one of these people that always wants to talk to people. Do you know, sometimes I feel that human beings are the fucking problem with this whole fucking planet. But there you go. That's true. But anyway, so yeah, and so yeah, my recovery has been a journey of learning, and I'm still learning. I was thinking the other day. I mean, I came in with a lot of trauma and like PTSD. I didn't know what it was that I do now, and like, you know, I've spent like a long time working on this stuff outside of you know, in therapy. I've integrated the steps into the work, and it's like I started doing it a certain type of work probably about 6 or 8 weeks ago now, and it's been really quite enlightening. And I started it because my motives for doing it were because I was finding that I was becoming more reactive around people that I felt were trying to victimize me. And like, it you could call it a shortcoming if you like, but I've had it for years, and I've identified it in different ways, and I've had to chip away at it for years, but I thought I'd do something specific with it. So I've done that. And I'm not trying to promote anything. I won't even get into the name of it. But what I realized was the other day that I was actually working my steps doing that. And I thought, you know what? You're actually working your step 6 and 7 here. You've just admitted you've got a problem. You've identified it. You've asked for some help. And now you're trying to do something to help yourself. And I just thought, yeah, you know, and you could also say it was a 1, 2, and 3 in there as well, if you like. But, and this is what I realize about how the program can be. It's like, it's a bit like that for me. And coming to trust myself in my recovery as well. And, you know, I recently had quite a big disagreement with my sponsor, and he's been my sponsor a long time, you know, and I have always respected and valued his input. We didn't have the same kind of beliefs at all. He was an atheist, and I was. That's not been my experience, but it didn't matter to me. It was like, to be honest, sometimes I thought he had more faith than people that professed that they were, full on believers and had loads of faith. You know what I mean? But what I learned, and I detached from the relationship, and I thought, oh my God, you haven't got a sponsor. And then I thought, well, do you know what? You've got a good support network around you. You need to process this stuff, so just give yourself a bit of time to do that. So I've used my support system, and I thought, just overcome that little bit of insecurity, and I've processed stuff, and I've recognized that part of that relationship was me looking for approval around my own recovery a lot of the time. And as a result of the detachment, it's made me recognize that I don't need to look for that. There's a certain amount of me that needs to find security. That's a human thing in me, needing to feel secure, but I don't have to do it for every little thing that goes on in my life. And it's like, and I've managed to deal with and work through problems that I would have probably found difficult and been on the phone to him in the past. And so that made me realize something about trusting myself and my recovery, and also the unhealthiness that can be in relationships that are even good, can be good for us, and that. And I haven't rejected the relationship at all. I've just detached from it, and at some point I will have a conversation with him, because I needed to get over some quite hurtful things that were said, and also recognizing that my sponsor has got a dark side to him, and isn't perfect. So and thankfully, I've had the space to be able to do that with people that I trust in my that are in this program. And so that I thought I'd mention that. But what I've not done is panicked and thought, oh my God, I'd better get us. You know what I mean? It's like I've lent on perhaps some of my own strength and learning and courage, and even placed it in this higher power too. So that was that. There's a The other thing I recognize is like we, people that are in recovery, we probably experience death more than the average person. I mean, we see people dying as we go on in recovery year after year, people we know, people we don't know, people that attended meetings. And we, it's an experience that I think keeps us awake in a way to the reality of what it is we're dealing with, because it is a killer disease. I mean, I've had friends that have gone off on another path with it and started to reinvent the wheel and stuff around it all, and I'm not interested. I don't give a fuck what you want to call it, to be honest. I just know that I've got it. My relapse taught me that everything that was written in the basic text about relapse, which was not just made up one Christmas morning by some addict that was bored. It was born of the experience of a lot of people. Well, I've lived that, and it didn't, it happened to me. That's how it happened to me. My relapse, I picked up in 1990, and I didn't get clean again to 2000. And I'd had perhaps 3 years in recovery And that for me started with a joint. And like, to cut a long story short, I was in intensive care 6 months later in an ICU, where the family were called in because they thought I was going to pop me clogs any minute. And I don't know how I survived that. Here's another thing. I'm a survivor, right? But I'm not a survivor out of being, one of these people that goes out into the wilderness and survives. I'm a survivor by grace, literally, because I don't know how I'm even alive. I just know there is some reason for it. I don't know what that is, other than it's got something to do with love and trying to do some good in the world around me. But I shouldn't even be breathing, and I have lately, especially after Benjamin being born, in the last 6 months, I'm just counting my blessings around my marriage. I'm happily married. My wife, she's just amazing, and she just knows how to deal with me as well. We couldn't be more different, and yet we seem to blend together. And like that relationship is that it's the healthiest relationship I've ever had. And like, I've had some help with that. I try and work the program within it, and as a result, it's healthy. And my son is bringing a new sense of joy that I've never experienced before, to the point of me at times feeling privileged to be his carer and his parent, to feel a privilege for that. I mean, that is just, that's new to me. I mean, that's something that, so these experiences and what I call gifts just keep carrying on. And as much as I feel, yeah, I've had a difficult few years recently, but as much as I feel that, I've been given so much as well, and it's not the end. I mean, a couple of years ago, I had a heart attack, and I lived like, after that, I lived like, I felt like I lived in the fear of dying any minute for like a long time. And now I'm like, I think I've accepted that my fear of death a bit more. It's still there a bit, but I'm not as fazed as I was by it, and I'm not as panicked by it. And I'm more into taking what I can from now, and also planning ahead a bit, which is amazing, really, for me. I don't know what else to say, really. I'm just feel like I've had a really enriched life as a result of being around here. I certainly don't want to go back to the old depravity and the fucking painful desperation and the fair weather friends and the insecurity of it all. And I mean, why would I want to exchange what I've got in my life now for that? So I'm glad I'm in a place where I don't think that I'm not just, thinking, and it's that time of year, a lot of people are drinking and that. I'm the kind of person, I'm secure enough in my recovery. I buy, some people that I work with drink bottles of wine and neighbours wine and this, that and the other. It doesn't bother me. If it did, I'd keep it out of the way, but I'm fine with it. I accept it. Now and again, I think, oh, it'd be nice to have a little warm tipple, but it's not a warm tipple, is it? It might be for a minute or two, but then it turns into something else for me. And I think as long as I'm attending meetings, that glow in the dark idea kind of thing of that warmth and whatever, with any kind of drug really, but mainly this time alcohol, I think for me, is will remain just that, one of those little insane fucking thoughts, and I won't give it any more time than that. And that's great to say that, because I was desperately obsessed and compulsed to the point that I would rob you and help you look for what it was that I stole at one point. So on that, I'll leave it there. Thanks for listening.